AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
From the hometown of NASCAR's Dick Trickle, locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM, your news talk and sports station.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. In most protests, the chant goes, "No justice, no peace." Striking auto workers at a Stellantis plant in Toledo have come up with their own version.
No justice!
No Jeeps!
No justice!
No Jeeps!
The Jeep plant is idle, as are Ford and GM plants in Michigan and Missouri, respectively. His correspondent, Chris Van Cleve.
The union is seeking up to a 40% raise, job protections as automakers switch to less labor-intensive EVs, and an unwinding of concessions made during the Great Recession. The big three are negotiating on many of the demands, but so far their proposed raise is about half.
We have a historic offer on the table.
GM CEO Mary Barra.
Why not just give them what they're asking for?
We have to make sure the company's going to succeed for the next 115 years.
Hurricane Lee is not expected to make a direct hit on the U.S., but its effects will be felt along the New England coast and even on eastern Long Island. It's expected to make landfall as a tropical storm tomorrow in New Brunswick and Nova Scotia, Canada, northeast of Maine. People in Maine are preparing. WGME-TV's Brad Rogers.
Boatyard workers in Camden, Rockport, and here in Rockland have been working at a frantic pace, pulling boats out of the water. The operations manager at Journey's End Marina says they're about as prepared for the storm as they can be.
Well, you know, we've got everything locked in the sheds. We've got all the small stuff in. I don't think we're that concerned, given we're the track of the hurricane. So I think we're in good shape.
Owners of several sailboats and smaller vessels plan to keep their boats on moorings where they will try to ride out the storm.
Search teams are digging through mud and ruined buildings, trying to find flood survivors and bodies in eastern Libya. The BBC's Anna Foster.
The mayor of Derna says that as many as 20,000 people may have been killed, swept away out to sea in that raging torrent of water. There are many survivors who now just don't simply have the basics that they need. Many of them are without homes. The electricity situation, the power situation in Derna is very difficult.
New Mexico's governor is amending her original court order, or her original order, I should say, suspending open carry gun laws for Albuquerque and the area around it after a judge shot it down. CBS's Christopher Cruz.
Wednesday, the judge imposed a temporary restraining order blocking Governor Michelle Lujan Grisham's order until another hearing is held in early October. He called the governor's order unconstitutional. Today, the governor tried again, narrowing her order to focus only on public parks and playgrounds where children and their families gather.
Big losses on Wall Street, with the Dow losing 289 points today. This is CBS News.
When you think of hiring, think of Indeed. Their end-to-end hiring system helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Spilled your drink? Quick, the quicker picker-upper. Bounty picks up spills quicker. And each sheet is 2 times more absorbent, so you can use less than the leading ordinary brand. So, you can get back to your night. Bounty, the quicker picker-upper.
Back to school means back to early bedtimes.
But I'm not tired.
Fortunately, there's Pure Z's Kids, mindfully formulated to help your child fall asleep naturally when needed. Pure Z's Kids products are non-habit forming, drug-free, and available in liquid, chewable tablets and gummies. Give them the rest to be their best.
Bye, Mom!
Pure Z's Kids, for ages 4 and up. Explore all Pure Z's Kids products at ZQL.com.
These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article on the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you've been listening, you know you can get your free credit report at annualcreditreport.com. But how do you use it? Paying attention to key pieces of information on the report, including your personal information,
open credit accounts, and credit inquiries can help you not only understand your credit standing and catch any errors, but regularly checking your credit report may also help you identify potential fraud or identity theft. Everyone is entitled to a free credit report from each of the three main credit bureaus once every 12 months. Yet only one in three Wisconsin adults actually obtain the report each year. An easy way to remember to check your report is to simply mark your calendar. Picking dates like February 2nd or 2-2 make it even easier to remember. Go to annualcreditreport.com to get started with your free credit report, and don't forget to keep listening for more tips. This message has been brought to you by the United Way of Southwood and Adams County's Financial Stability Coalition.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 53. Overnight, under overcast skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again tomorrow, isolated rain showers likely, highs level off around 73. Lows level off around 49 tomorrow night, upper 60s, Sunday, low 70s, Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 57.
Stop surfing the dial. You've found the greatest station ever. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
7:06 on a Friday morning, September 15th. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on this National Double Cheeseburger Day. Kristen Lyerly's here. There's so many days today. National Doodle Day, if you're a doodler. Not the dog. National Creme de Menthe Day, for those people that like cough syrup. National Felt Hat and Make a Hat Day. Now, the felt hat I'm actually going to be wearing later today for Oktoberfest in Chippewa Falls. Oh. So I've got a little a green little felt hat with a little feather, you know, coming out of it. Mm-hmm. It's National Linguini Day. It's National Online Learning Day. It's POWMIA Recognition Day. It's International Day of Democracy. It's World Afro Day. And it's International Dot Day. Is there a paperclip day? Can we just grab any inanimate object and dedicate a day? That apparently there are no rules anymore on what gets a day.
I can't keep up.
I can't either. But hey, every group, it's a reason to either celebrate something or to have a sale, you know, or whatever the case may be. Whatever works. So, hey, we're going to be talking to Dan Schumacher later this hour about sports. We're going to be talking to Mark Jacob later this hour about media coverage. Probably about the goings-on in the Georgia case for former President Trump and the United Auto Workers strike and other things as well. And let's see, we'll have a Brewers update, a weatherology forecast, but really we want to get started while Kristen's here. And normally not on Fridays, but she was traveling yesterday when the news came down that Planned Parenthood announced it would resume abortion care services at two Wisconsin clinics after a judge determined that the arcane language in an 1849 law is not actually an abortion ban, it's not easy language to read, but, you know, as she looked at it, and I think others would agree, if you look at it, it was more about, you know, feticide and, you know, keeping women safe from abuse. It had nothing to do with abortion care. And so, Kristen, you are an intervener in the lawsuit?
Yeah, I'm a plaintiff intervener, which means that I'm on the lawsuit because it actually directly affects me. It's the reason that I'm here practicing in Arizona instead of home where I'd like to be taking care of my friends and neighbors.
Yeah. And so the Planned Parenthood announcement, again, they were providing services, just not abortion care services that can be resumed. And again, means that women will not have to travel so far out of state for the care they need during, you know, troubled pregnancies and you know, all manner of conditions.
Yeah, the bulk of the care that Planned Parenthood provides actually isn't abortion care. It's screening for sexually transmitted infections. It's cancer screening. It's providing birth control. It's preventive care. There are so many different things that Planned Parenthood does. But when abortion care was taken away, We had obviously no access to abortions in Wisconsin. Now we're bringing it back on Monday in Madison and in Milwaukee. We're hoping that we're going to be able to bring it back in Sheboygan soon, but we've got some logistical barriers to set up there. So fingers crossed, that's my home site. And I know how much the people of northeastern Wisconsin and northern Wisconsin need that site to be open. So we're going to keep pushing. But this is just the beginning of a very, very long road.
And again, by long road, meaning, as we mentioned briefly at the end of the last hour, that this is a step that is, you know, that works for women who don't have to travel, especially women who are in, you know, medical peril. But it certainly doesn't, you know, roll back the Dobbs decision, for example.
No, not at all. And, you know, keep in mind that in Wisconsin before Dobbs, abortion was severely restricted. There were only four clinics in Milwaukee, Madison, and Sheboygan. So the entire rest of the state had no access to abortion care. When I was working in Sheboygan, I would see people who would drive 3 hours in each direction just to sit down and have a counseling visit, have to drive all the way back because there's a 24-hour waiting period, drive all the way back again just to be handed a pill by a doctor, the same doctor, because of all of these arbitrary political barriers that our lawmakers, our Republican lawmakers, have been putting in women's way so that we can't get access to fundamental health care. So this is where, you know, it's great to be able to have access back in Madison and Milwaukee, but we need Sheboygan, we need Green Bay, we need Eau Claire, we need all of these different places, because women all across the state, I guarantee you, women all across the state need abortion care.
And the thing is, again, life is tough enough in parts of rural Wisconsin. We talk about, care deserts. We talk about child care deserts. We talk about food deserts where there's not a decent grocery store. Life's hard in these areas. And it's it gets harder when politicians decide that they know better than women and their doctors about the kind of care that should be provided. When goodness knows there's other things they could be working on other than interfering in people's lives and trying to fire Supreme Court justices and nonpartisan elections officials. It seems like the priorities might be a little messed up in Madison, to put it briefly.
Might be. You know, like, nobody wants a politician making their personal healthcare decisions for them. Whether we're talking about when you get your preventive care screening or whether you get cancer treatment, politicians have no right to be in the exam room with you. So let's continue to help them move out so that we, as individuals, as Wisconsinites, can make our own personal healthcare decisions with the counsel of our medical professionals, our family, our faith leaders, the people who we really trust and rely on.
Back more with Dr. Lyerly coming up. We're going to take a break here. We're going to get your weatherology forecast from Jennifer Fuchitsky. We're going to find out how the Brewers did against Miami, wrapping up that four-game series. And then still ahead, Mark Jacob and Dan Schumacher. Wherever you are listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, when you're here for 2 hours every morning, you're up north, and we'll be right back.
From the home of the Cranberry Blossom Festival, your news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Yes, it's Leslie Gore again.
You don't own me.
Always our reminder to politicians out there, especially those who once used this song in a mocking tone about women and their health care rights.
Ha!
Uh-huh. Yeah. That time is going to be going away real soon here. All right. Time to get a feel for the weather forecast for this weekend. Some rain moving through the area right now. And then we'll look to see, especially for Oktoberfest here in Chippewa Falls, hoping that we get a chance to look. The dance floor is under tents, so it's not like the dance floor is going to be slippery, but you still don't want to get too soaked as you're going from one beer tent to the other here. So Jennifer Fuchitsky is here from Weatherology to tell us more about the forecast all across Wisconsin as we head into the weekend, with or without our dancing shoes. Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, well, overall, it doesn't look like too bad of a weekend here for most today, or most coming up. So today we're looking at Sunny skies for the southern and eastern half of the state with highs in the mid to upper 70s. Starting off sunny from Richland Center through Wausau, then cloud cover developing in the afternoon hours with a chance for showers and storms coming in. Mid to low 70s for central Wisconsin, warmer around 80 for Richland Center. And cloudy with a chance for rain and storms this morning into the afternoon around Amory and Baldwin with highs around 70 today. For the weekend, sunny skies expected for both Saturday and Sunday around Amory and Baldwin, highs in the mid-60s to low 70s. I've been mentioning all week, kind of still a little bit all over the place for everyone else this weekend. Madison over to Richland Center and through Wisconsin, or through central Wisconsin and over towards Oshkosh. A chance for rain and storms on Saturday, but then sunny on Sunday, highs in the mid to low 70s, which is relatively average for this time of the year. A slight chance for showers and storms both days this weekend for Waukesha and Milwaukee, highs in the upper 60s to low 70s. And then a sneak peek at the work week next week. By Monday, sunny skies for everyone, highs in the upper 60s to mid 70s, and those coolest parts will be closer towards Lake Michigan.
You know, I just looked at the radar here, Jennifer, and this current system moving into Wisconsin, it honestly, this line stretches from Denver to Thunder Bay, Ontario, and it's not one of those lines that it's not a clipper. It isn't like whipping right through. So if you get you get underneath one of these things, you are going to get a little wet this morning.
You are, yeah, and it's moving pretty slowly. So some areas are getting some pretty heavy rain for a little bit of time this morning.
Yeah, but in I would say 99% of the cases, they don't mind that a bit. Might interfere with plans, but gosh, do we need the rain. Jennifer, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, you too.
All right. So there you go. There's your forecast heading into the weekend as far as sports goes. Tyrone Taylor hit two RBI doubles and put Milwaukee ahead for good with an amazing slide into home yesterday afternoon as the Brewers beat Miami 4-2 to take three games out of the four-game series. And the Brewers' lead over the Cubs in the NL Central is now 4.5 games. And the Brewers start a three-game series at home against the Washington Nationals starting tonight. Wade Miley is on the mound. Hear that game in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support. Hear it from News from the Center in Richland Center as well. That's at 107.7 FM and 1450 AM. And the number one ranked Badger women's volleyball team will be playing number three ranked Florida in Florida Sunday afternoon, 2:00. That match will be on ESPN. Kristen Lyerly's back with us, and we're talking about Planned Parenthood resuming abortion services at two locations in Wisconsin starting next week. And I don't think we, among our regular callers, it looks like Gary and Sussex couldn't hang on the line. So I'm going to try to channel him for a moment with apologies if I'm not quite getting to where his question might have been. But would it be somewhere along the lines of, you know, why does this have to be unrestricted? I think I'm getting to the abortion on demand, you know, abortion as birth control, abortion as convenience. Is that, you know, people think that that's what this decision means. And I'd like to think that in all of your appearances with us and on other shows and in national media, that people are understanding that there's much more to abortion care than what, you know, one part of the political spectrum wants you to believe it is.
These things like abortion on demand or abortion up until the time of birth, these are things that really only exist on conservative talk radio. These are political talking points that are meant to make you feel uncomfortable and to pull you over to a certain side. In truth, abortion is deeply integrated into every aspect of women's health care. There are components of abortion care in helping someone manage a miscarriage, in helping someone get pregnant, in fertility treatment, and definitely in helping someone with a complicated pregnancy. There are socioeconomic reasons, there are psychological reasons, there are medical reasons. Every woman who seeks abortion care does it for a reason. And abortion care is common. 1 in 4 women in this country will have an abortion in her lifetime. So, I mean, I understand that this is a really titillating argument and talking point, and it gets people really riled up. But the truth is, when it comes to your individual healthcare decisions, you don't make those decisions thinking about it the way that politicians do. You make those decisions thinking about what's happening in your life. And those are very complex decisions that require a lot of information and input. Mm-hmm. And that's all I can really say. Like, as a physician who hears these stories, sometimes I'm surprised by the stories that my patients are sharing and mm-hmm. the different angles that they take. And, you know, it's my obligation to be there for them and to serve them the way that your physician should serve you.
Here's a Facebook comment from Mary. As a very generalized statement, it doesn't seem logical. The Republicans are strong in protecting gun rights, yet fight to take away women's rights to abortion, claiming to protect unborn children. During the mask mandate, a lot of Republicans argued it was their choice, not knowing it could protect the life, I would add, of children. So I get confused with their logic and some of the Christian faith on this. And I would note as well, and I'm not looking to turn this into a religious conversation by any stretch of the imagination here, but Ireland, overwhelmingly Catholic, is also abortion is legal. And just days ago, Mexico, again, mm-hmm. an overwhelmingly Catholic nation. So this should not be, and especially in the United States, this should not be a case where somebody else's, you know, religious dogma decides national law. And period. End of sentence.
Right. Exactly. I have taken care of so many women who come to me with a problem that I wouldn't solve the way that they choose to solve it. But my obligation is to hear them, to diagnose their problem, and to give them options so that they can choose what the best thing is for them within the context of their life, not for me to tell them what to do. And some of my patients choose things that I wouldn't choose. You know, I have patients who are very Catholic and will not take birth control, even though they would be using it to manage uncomfortable periods or heavy periods, but that's not an option for them. So we try to find other things, and it can be really hard, but I want my patients to be able to have a treatment that works for them in their lives. And ultimately that's it. It has to be about you.
You are, I hear that all the time from the person who had the courage to marry me, also an OBGYN, that all you can do is you can provide the information, you can provide, you know, counseling, you can provide, you know, all matter of advice, but the actual care decision must and should remain with the patient and not allow, you know, your state senator into the room to say, hey, what do you think, buddy?
Yeah, might I suggest that instead of saying all of these ugly things, that our Republican legislators focus on solving some of the problems that could actually make life easier for people, like ensuring that people can get to the doctor, can get access to birth control and preventive care, can get child care for the children that they have and the children that they are planning to have, can get elder care, can get education. I mean, there is no lack of problems that need to be solved. But when politicians spend their time and their energy with this ugly messaging that frankly just hurts people, hurts families, hurts communities, they are not serving you.
No. And just, again, you don't just hear health concerns from people. You hear them say, you know, You might say, congratulations, you're pregnant. And they're like, I don't know where this kid's going to go to childcare, or I'm going to have to quit my job. You know, and in fact, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel this morning has an editorial from somebody who talks about being offered the job of a lifetime, but couldn't take it because of the childcare costs would cost more than their mortgage payment, because that's mm-hmm. where we're at right now with this mm-hmm. situation. And so if you care about the worker shortage, if you care about having a healthy economy in Wisconsin, then that's got to be a priority for you more so than dictating people's healthcare choices, because the lack of affordable childcare here is costing. There's a new story somewhere. I think the Journal Sentinel had that one as well. The amount of drain on the economy from people who have to not take jobs, leave jobs, the people that have to run short of workers. It's so in need of creative solutions. And all we're getting from the legislature yesterday was, well, let's pull back some of those safeguards and let's mm-hmm. make daycares less safe. And so if you missed it last hour, a petition was turned in by child care providers and their supporters with more than 1,000 names saying these bills that you're passing this week would actually make the problem worse, not better. Mm-hmm. And that's what I'm sure you're going to hear in the exam room as well.
Oh, for sure. I mean, I personally, before I went to medical school, had two young kids, and I dropped out of the workforce because we couldn't afford to put our kids in daycare and have us both working at jobs that just couldn't support it. So I've personally experienced this. And, you know, you didn't even mention expanding Medicaid, Pat.
Right.
People can't get the healthcare that they need for entirely political reasons. There is every reason for Wisconsin to expand Medicaid, except that one ugly political reason. So if you are really truly about protecting babies, taking care of women, encouraging families, then take some of these steps to really put your words into action instead of just shouting ugly things at people for the wrong reasons.
And it's not as if they hadn't heard this. As mentioned previously, legislators, as they've been in listening sessions, as the Joint Finance Committee went around the state, it was far and away the number one thing they heard was help us, help the worker shortage, help parents, help child care providers, and they don't. And here's the story I was looking for. Ready Nation, a group of business leaders who promote solutions that prepare children to succeed in education, work, and life, recently released a report. The child care crisis is costing the United States $122 billion a year in lost productivity, wages, and revenue. Wisconsin alone loses an estimated $1.9 billion annually, and these figures only represent families with infants and toddlers. A $2 billion hit to our economy that you have a chance to solve with a record $7 billion budget surplus, and you want to give it away in tax cuts to the very wealthy. It's completely backwards.
It's the same thing. It's, you know, you say tax cut and people salivate. They love the idea of a tax cut. So these Republicans just want to use messages that they know get that Pavlovian response from voters. Tax cut, I'm going to vote for you. But yeah, that doesn't translate to actual meaningful change.
Kristen, thanks again so much for all the information and everything. Have a good time in Arizona, and we'll see you we'll see you on Monday, hopefully.
Always a joy. Have a great weekend.
All right. See you later. When we come back, Mark Jacob is here, former editor at the Chicago Tribune, and we will talk more about this week's top stories and coverage thereof after this. You're up north.
News talk and sports on both sides of the dial from Wisconsin Rapids and beyond. Locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Locally grown 1320 AM and 97.5 FM WFHR programming is broadcast from the Bug Tussle Studios.
Bug Tussle, keeping you connected to the world around you. Dynamite!
Do you catch yourself quoting TV shows like that? It could win you a free meal and make you our next star of the day with Culver's. Join the morning show on WFHR every Friday.
What you talking about, Willis?
My name's James, and I'm telling people every Friday we'll play a theme song or a quote from a movie.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give it.
You call 424-2600, give the correct answer, and you'll win a family pack from our Wisconsin Rapids Culver's.
To the Batmobile.
Join the morning show every Friday for Culver's Star of the Day.
I love it when a plan comes together.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help. Anyone can call or text 988 or chat via 988wisconsin.org to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. Trained counselors are here to support anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. You can also contact 988 if you are concerned about someone. 988 is confidential and free to all Wisconsin residents. 988, 24/7. Call, text, chat. Here to support you. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
My friend Teddy almost set his house on fire. He used a counterfeit, you know, a fake wall charger. He had to go to the hospital.
My big sister Jenna's face turned bright red. She was just showing people online how to use a new cream. She still has the scars.
My brother's friend Billy had to jump off his motor scooter when it caught fire. He fell and got hit by a car. He broke his leg. Blew his chances to play basketball in college.
My BFF Chloe was riding her bike and hit a ditch. Her helmet broken too. Now, she has a brain injury.
There is a cost to buying cheap. Do you want to pay the price?
Real products are tested for safety. Protect yourself. Don't fall for fake products.
Visit ncpc.org/goforreal. brought to you by the National Crime Prevention Council and the United States Patent and Trademark Office.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time.
Ugh.
Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, "I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action." Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Lows dip down to about 53. Overnight, under overcast skies, southwesterly winds around 5 miles per hour. Cloudy skies again. Tomorrow, isolated rain showers likely. Highs level off around 73. Lows level off around 49. Tomorrow night, upper 60s. Sunday, low 70s. Monday. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 57.
Mark Jacob joins us now. He does on Friday mornings, and we talk about national headlines and a lot of the national press coverage of them. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
No, you're not. I know you're not, because you and I have the same frustration. I rather enjoy Kristen Welker as a Today Show host. I've never really had much of an issue with her one way or another as a journalist. It's going to be her first Sunday hosting Meet the Press. And yet, here we go again, putting Donald Trump on to juice up ratings. But now, at least it's a taped interview. But yeah. I still wonder, to what degree will she come out of it and say, "Here's everything he got wrong," or does she challenge him during the interview, or just let everything slide? I just don't feel good about it.
Well, they did a little sneak peek yesterday where they, gave us about a minute or so of it, and there was no pushback. I mean, she allowed Trump to say that all the indictments against him were Biden indictments, even though two of them are, in local courts, not even in federal courts. So, and also all the lies, I can keep those documents, all that crap. And I guess what bothers me is that, all right, so you get rid of Chuck Todd, who is always Mr. Both Sides. And so you have a chance for Meet the Press to set a whole new tone. And yet they invite a guy who's the most famous liar in America to be on their first program. And it's just instead they ought to just rename the show, Lie to the Public and We'll Help You. And it's so disappointing that they can't, set a new tone and learn anything. You're right, Pat, that it is a good point that they're pre-taping it, supposedly fact-checking it. And we'll have to see how the show goes. But really, people wouldn't go on those shows. The fascist liars, the MAGA liars, would not go on those shows unless they thought they were going to win by it. And they almost always do. You know, you say, well, that was a tough interview. You asked a bunch of tough questions. Well, you didn't get tough answers. You got lies. So what is the public supposed to do? To me, it's just, it's disrespecting your own audience when you invite Donald Trump to be your big guest on your, you know, your relaunch of your program.
Yeah, agreed. And I made the case yesterday morning on Chad Holmes' show, who follows this show up in Wausau on Bull Falls Radio. I said, look, if it were up to me, I would no longer have guests. I would no longer do the, because it turns into a big get. What big get did you get to interview? My whole weekend show would be something along the lines of, let's go to the video, because there's plenty of video every week of speeches and interviews elsewhere. Take that video and annotate it, break it down and say, this is right, this is wrong. I would do kind of, it's almost like a post game show of looking back at the game reel rather than letting them play the game on your stage.
I love that idea because, you know, you could play a couple sentences, stop the tape, you know, go find the statistics and show why it's right or wrong. I mean, you know, that would actually be a reader and viewer service. I mean, that's what journalism should be, rather than just, you know, just bring people on to, you know, tell their alternate realities.
Yeah. Just briefly, because we talk a lot about what's happening here in Wisconsin, but we've been saying for the past 2 weeks here, there's been more than a little national attention coming back to Wisconsin because of these, you know, anti-democracy efforts to remove a state Supreme Court justice, to hold an imaginary firing of the State Elections Commission administrator. And so I'm just bringing you on for essentially verification that outside of Wisconsin borders, people are taking note of these things.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it's a canary in a coal mine kind of situation where Wisconsin, at least at the present, seems to be the leading edge of trying to nullify the will of the voters. And, you know, and people are, yeah, they are noticing, you know, especially, you know, that last election for the Supreme Court, it was not a close election. There's no misunderstanding of what the will of the voters was. We completely know. I mean, there's just no doubt. But at the same time, the Republicans want to say that we don't care what the voters think. Here's what we want. And we, you know, we got the power and we're going to keep it. And it really, the real danger, Pat, we're not that far away from just a completely autocratic state. I mean, you look at the gerrymandering in Wisconsin, you guys talk about it all the time, I'm sure. But right now, the representation in political offices in Wisconsin does not match the will of the voter. And the legislature is, you know, a mess because of that. And is it going to get worse? Is it going to be impossible for the will of the voters to prevail in Wisconsin? I mean, people nationwide are extremely worried about this, and they're worried because they care about Wisconsin because it's one of the 50 states, but they're also worried because it seems to be a model for what national Republicans want to do. We should all be really scared about it, I think.
But we, again, get our attention diverted on so many other fronts, not the least of which is the way that you rightfully called out the Washington Post for covering the impact of this Hunter Biden, case on the president. And you rightly pull out a sentence from this article that talks about House Republicans opening an impeachment inquiry centered on whether the president benefited from his son's business dealings, although they have produced little, if any, evidence to that effect. They've produced little, if any, evidence to that effect, Mark?
Yeah.
None. The answer's none.
As I think we've talked about before, if Hunter Biden did things wrong, you know, charge him with crimes, take him to trial, and if he's convicted, you know, punish him. That's fine. That's the way the system's supposed to work. But this whole kind of smoke, you know, oh, well, we don't know the Biden crime family. If you can't prove and there's no evidence of the president of the United States being involved in these things and benefiting it from it in any way, you don't have a case. And the ridiculous thing is that I wrote about for Courier Newsroom this week. I wrote about how the Republicans, what they like to do is kind of what I call spinning straw into gold, which is that they, you know, they make a false accusation like, you know, Biden crime family, Joe Biden, biggest criminal in America. And then when that gets, you know, repeated in Fox News and the rest of the, you know, right wing propaganda industry, it's reflected in the polls, and the polls show, you know, some percentage of Americans believe, you know, Biden's a criminal. And then the right wingers in Congress, you know, Comer and those people, they cite the polls. They don't cite the evidence as much because they're not going to give us the evidence because it doesn't exist. But they cite the polls. Well, look at this. Look at what people say. The American people think there's a problem. Well, they think there's a problem because you told them there was a problem and because propaganda really works in today's America.
No doubt about that. So let's change gears here to an issue that is brand new, but I definitely want your take on it. This is the first time that the United Auto Workers Union has struck all three of the major automakers at the same time. But it's not a massive walkout all at once. It's going to be very targeted, much like they say the sit-down strikes that they did in 1937, but these they call stand-up strikes, that at any given point, some plant, at a critical time, you know, the workers are going to stand up and walk out. So it's not going to be your typical strike. And I just wonder if you were advising newsrooms on this, and frankly, any other labor coverage, are there particular, you know, pitfalls or cliches that they need to watch out for? What's your advice for a news consumer following coverage of something that, you know, it's not as simple as, you know, give me a raise. Okay, there's going to be a lot said about this.
Well, I think we need to look at it, you know, as a social contract in a capitalist system, which is that, you know, that workers, you know, agree to work for an employer who agrees to pay them. And, you know, and everything else, all the terms of it are negotiable. It's not like a master-slave thing. It's not like if we're lucky to have our jobs. You could also say that the employer is lucky to have us. I mean, that's the thing in a free system, in a democracy with free enterprise system, you know, that's the way it's supposed to work. It's supposed to be all of us doing what we want to do under the terms of employment that we all agree to. And that can happen. I mean, that's healthy. And that's what we had to look at it. I mean, this whole thing of, well, you know, those darn unions are going to ruin everything. No, they're not. I mean, they're part of workers actually, you know, making their voice heard and being doing productive work that makes them money so they can feed their families and also helps the economy. So I think, Pat, my advice would be to not make enemies, you know, not create enemies, not take sides, and just say it as it is. It's a negotiation. And also, it should be pointed out, there's some really clear facts here. Like, you know, CEO pay in this country is outrageous. It's so much higher compared to the average worker than it was, you know, 20, 30, 40 years ago, that you have to wonder, you know, what's that about? Well, you know, and when people pay higher prices for things, what are they paying for? You know, so some serious questions like that need to be asked. As far as the tactics, I think they're smart tactics. I think, you know, instead of the plain old let's go out and we're, you know, and stop working and who knows when we'll come back, this kind of, you know, tactical pop-up strikes or whatever you want to call them may be far more effective. And so writing about those tactics is important too. But I just think that in some cases, you know, newspapers, TV stations are owned by very rich people. And so I think there's a tendency to kind of put it on the unions as being the bad guys here. And I would urge them not to do that.
Well, what you get is a variation of a you know, cartoon or a meme that goes around a lot these days. And basically it's the guy making $20 million, the CEO, is convincing the people making $40,000-$50,000 a year that the real problem in the economy is that an auto worker is getting $80,000 or $90,000 a year. And that it's not the, you know, the billionaire that is having the greater impact on, you know, their lack of opportunity.
Yeah. I do think that I think we should be watching these strikes and see how they work. It's interesting that pop-up kind of strike is a different tactic than what's happening in Hollywood now. You know, and that Hollywood strike is extremely damaging. And as one person on Twitter pointed out, I thought it was very interesting, pointed out that they're losing way more money than they would have lost if they would have just conceded to the demands of the writers union.
Right.
And And why are they doing that? The one answer is that they don't want to open their books. That there's a lot of funny stuff going on in the studios, and they don't want to disclose.
The lengths to which they're willing to go to break the people on whom they rely is stunning. Sometimes got time for one more thing, and that would be I'm assuming you read the Atlantic piece, the excerpt from Mitt Romney's biographer, and we talked about it quite a bit yesterday, but. What were your own impressions? Do you feel sad for Mitt Romney for what he discovered when he got to the U.S. Senate?
I just think it's sad that anyone who in the Republican Party who gets out of line even a little bit is considered some sort of brash hero. Romney, at least he voted for impeachment twice. I think it's also sad. I mean, this whole communication with McConnell, him warning McConnell before January 6th that there's going to be really bad stuff going on and you can't trust that Trump is going to allow authorities to stop it or control it. I mean, which is, really important to know. We're finding about that in September 2023. So why is that? Why wasn't, Romney more forthcoming with disclosing that kind of stuff to the J6 committee, for example? I think, and also that quote, that incredibly damaging quote where he says, well, I guess most members of my party don't believe in the Constitution. Well, hello, yes. Well, why are you a member of that party then?
And that's where, again, you can either excoriate Romney for not having a spine in the past, but I would choose instead with others to say, look, you just announced you're not running, but right. You got the rest of this year. So how about you buck up and, stand with the Constitution on some of these things and don't vote in lockstep with your party. But look, we're out of time to find out. That's just the guy we'll monitor. What Mitt Romney do we see for the next 12 months or so? Mark Jacob, thank you so much. His new column is at couriernewsroom.com. Have a great weekend.
Talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Mark. We'll take a break here. Dan Schumacher's up next. We'll talk sports. We're heading into the stretch run here on the regular season for Major League Baseball. And the Brewers still comfortably ahead of the Cubs at this point, but still a lot of baseball to play. We'll talk Packers. We'll talk Aaron Rodgers and more right after this. You're up north.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
Dan Schumacher going way back in the files here. I believe this is a 1969 music we got today, right?
Well, technically it would be 70 because it was part of the one of their greatest albums called Working Man's Dead. And it's a unique song, Pat. If you actually look at these lyrics, this most of the song is about a day of darkness, which is the state that the society's in. It's about the Vietnam War and stuff like that. And I'm like sitting here as I'm listening to you and Jacob's talk, this political world, this darkness has got to give. Mm-hmm. As the line says, man, it's just, wow.
It is. It's rough. And it's even reflected in interviews like this one where what police station are you in and what are you being interrogated about? It's kind of dank there where you are. Are you at work or at home up there in Ashland?
I am at home right now. Okay. I'm actually going to have furniture delivered today.
I was going to say, put something on the walls there, man. Is there not a Northern College Athletics poster yet or something?
No, I do have a couple pictures of the kids, my kids. But
hey, speaking of name, image, licensing, does that apply to coaches as well? Can you get a deal and we can do like Dan Schumacher posters all over, endorsing this product or that product?
No, but we can't.
I'm just saying, I'm willing to be your agent on this. I sense an opportunity here. You said it was a dreary morning in Ashland, and again, that system is very slowly working its way across the northwestern corner of the state here. But, again, that's what you expect for this kind of a season as do we do baseball? Let's do baseball first and then football. Brewers won at Miami, took 3 out of 4. 4.5-game lead over the Cubs. They now have the Washington Nationals coming to American Family Field this weekend. So, and there's no excuse not to take, frankly, there's no excuse not to take three games of that series, but, you know, two would be acceptable. What's the Cubs have a tougher road to hoe here, I would imagine.
They do, but they still have the inside track for that wild card. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if they can get the wild card, I'd be happy with that. I think that'd be a successful season. I like the, they made a move here, what, last week? They brought up their top prospect to the ball club, and he had one hell of a first game, a couple of great catches. Guy's got blazing speed in center field. So, you know, there's some upside to everything. But the Brewers are tough, man.
When they're firing, they sure are. You know, sometimes mm-hmm. they just have a day where the bats go cold or the pitcher just can't quite get it done. But there were like two games this week between Corbin Burnes and Brandon Woodruff where they basically gave the bullpen the day off almost. So when you can get that kind of a break, you know, that's a nice deal to have happen. But yeah, in terms of the wild card, I believe there are four teams all within a game and a half of each other for that wild card. So, right. You know, for folks who are maybe old school purists and they're like, oh, why do we have these wild cards? Like, this is why. Now you've got mm-hmm. a real chase going on at the end of the season.
But to comment further on the bullpen comment you just made, I was actually very upset with Council watching that game. Burnes goes nine innings of a no-no.
Eight innings. Pulled him in the ninth. Yeah.
And pulls him in the ninth, and then the relievers give up the game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how I would react.
That's always been Council's way, because when Woodruff had that complete game shutout the next night or 2 days later, again, Council, that's only the fourth complete game shutout in the Craig Council era. He will pull the trigger right away. And he told Woodruff, you know, I'm going to pull you at 105 pitches. Well, thankfully he got the last out at 106 pitches. That's just his way. And that, again, it's a real gamble. I mean, you look at the starters who have completely, you know, they were overused. You know, Steven Strasburg is having, you know, supposed to be, he announced his retirement. That guy was supposed to be the second coming. Yep. But I knew watching him pitch, he was a University of Texas, I think. And watching him pitch, I thought, I'll be amazed if he has a long career. And he didn't have a longer, he didn't have a shorter career as I thought he was going to have with the Nationals. But boy, those arms, I don't envy anybody who has to figure out the right balance of overuse or underuse of a pitcher. You know,
right.
All right, let's get to football for a second here. Your NFC Central Division cellar dwellers are the Minnesota Vikings, 0-2 after losing to the Eagles 34-28. Four first half turnovers. They are still definitely in what I call preseason mode.
Yeah, they didn't look good at all last night. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know what kind of audience they had last night because it was on Amazon. You didn't even have it on the TV.
I was going to tell you about that. I would like to raise a glass right now to every poor bartender who found out, like, at the last second, it's on Amazon, and some bar owners know to have it, and some don't, and their customers get mad at them, and I got to give it up for all of them, because whether they had it or not, I'm sure they weren't thinking about it till 7:15, and then are scrambling because nobody knows where to find games anymore. So the people that did tune in, and thankfully our friendly local watering hole guy, Chaz, was able to bring up the game. But yeah, if you were a Vikings fan, You were not happy.
No, not at all. I went to a place that I had to go to two places to find it because I don't have it at home here. So I found a place that actually served a little pizza and got to watch the first half and then home following on my phone, the live stats. But bad week of football for a couple of teams.
Yeah, go figure. Well, here's the thing. You poor, poor, suffering Bears fan. You can't even win at having the worst week ever. You thought on Monday morning, this is going to be the worst week ever. Bears fans are going to have it terrible. And all the TikTok videos of Bears fans cussing and screaming. You only got to have a bad week for one day. And then Aaron Rodgers goes down, and now it's Jets fans who are having the worst week ever. Bears fans can't even win for losing. I feel for you, man.
I did see yesterday Dan Pompeo, the Chicago Tribune sports writer, and he also covers the Bears quite extensively. I guess Mike McCaskey in Virginia went to Hallis Hall on Monday morning and had a private meeting with Poles and the head coach. that they were not happy losing that game. And Virginia McCaskey's what, in the late 90s?
Yeah.
I mean, for her to get fired up and get upset and come all the way to Hell's Hall, that's like your grandmother coming to scold you, which is just worse than your mom.
I mean, between that and you know, Vikings fans who are also like the ones in their 90s are like, could we win just one Super Bowl before I die? And, you know, yeah, for millions of Vikings fans who are right, who have passed on, the answer is no. No, you cannot. Packers play the Atlanta Falcons. They're in Atlanta. Noon game on Sunday. And then I definitely want to switch gears and point out that, again, the Badger women's volleyball team, number one ranked in the nation. They are in Florida, third ranked Florida. In Florida, Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock, that match is going to be on ESPN, and I'm sure up there at Northland College in Ashland, fall sports are getting going as well.
Yeah, I will give a plug. I would imagine by the end of today, no later than tomorrow, we will announce we did announce already a month ago the reinstatement of men's wrestling and the addition of women's wrestling, which is the fastest growing sport, a high school sport in Wisconsin right now. We'll announce the new head coach. A little teaser, he's a former Olympian, Olympic wrestler. So I'm excited about the hire and excited to where we're going to go with that program.
All right. Good luck with all that. Have a great weekend, Dan. Thanks so much.
See you guys.
All right. We will see you later. All right. Everybody have a great weekend out there. Follow me on social media, Pat Kreitlow Up North on Facebook, Pat Kreitlow on the Twitter, Up North News WI across the rest of media for Up North News Radio. Have a great weekend. See you Monday.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
How do you locate a support group, professional association, or local organization? United Way's 211 will provide the answers to these questions and more. 211 is your connection to programs and services in Central Wisconsin. Dial 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. In this ever-changing world, it is often hard to find the program or service you're looking for. United Way's 211 can assist you locating services. 211 is free and confidential. Trained referral specialists will help you get connected 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. Every day, people begin a difficult and sometimes desperate search for programs that can provide assistance. United Way's 211 is there to connect you to the programs and services you need. For non-emergency information and referral services, call United Way's 211 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211. With thousands of programs in the database, they can assist you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 211.
Hi, I'm E.J. Williams. Each year, millions of animals are abandoned, and more than a million are euthanized before they can be rescued. Organizations like American Humane are working to harness the healing power of the human-animal bond, as animals can be trained as life-saving service and therapy dogs to help veterans, the elderly, and children with special needs to overcome the obstacles of everyday life. To find out how you can help give animals and the people they help a new leash on life, please visit AmericanHumane.org.
The Todd Alba Show.
These fires in Alberta, they're just this very narrow jet stream, just bringing all that kind of smoke down.
What it does is those sunsets and sunrises.
Yeah.
I mean, you've just got this massive deep red disc up in the sky. It's like you're in a Star Wars, you know, movie or something like that.
The Todd Alba Show.
Which makes sense when you look at the Civic Media lineup. I mean, we really look like the Cantina Bars as far as all the characters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Kids across America are going to school hungry. Millions of kids every day. Hungry kids get sick more often and can struggle in school. It can be harder for them to focus and learn. But one simple thing can help change all of this for a hungry child in America. Good healthy food and the energy it brings. With help from caring people across America, No Kid Hungry is providing healthy meals and hope to hungry kids so they can build better futures.
We want to ensure that all of our kids have healthy meals every day.
Thank you.
Thank you for helping feed our kids.
To learn more about ending child hunger in America, go to helpnokidhungry.org today.
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Peter King. United Auto Workers union officials say they expect to be back at the bargaining table.